Is it just me, or does it feel like the marketing playbook is always changing? I mean, who can keep up with all of this? Luckily, HubSpot makes it their job to keep marketers on trend and on track to hit their goals. Their 2024 State of Marketing Report is the all-in-one guide for everything happening this year and how marketers can best approach it all. HubSpot surveyed more than 1,400 marketing pros across the world and curated the top trends they're thinking about. Sure, there's AI, but there's also so much more. This report covers everything from increasing awareness and engagement to ensuring privacy and boosting efficiency and growth. You'll get all the info you need to shape your strategy for the year and keep on winning to next year. Don't get caught hopping on an old trend. Visit HubSpot.com/stateofmarketing to get your free copy of the report. This is the Ops Authority Podcast, where my mission is to break down the backside of your business so you can take the right actions to grow and scale. Hey, I'm Natalie Gingrich, a small business operations expert, and I'm going to give you a front row seat to real solutions that will help you reach the vision that you have for your business, all while equipping you to put out those inevitable pesky fires and those fears that pop up. Listen in for strategies to grow your team, craft the systems and processes that you need for your business, and establish business foundations that you may have skipped over. I know you're ready to do really big things, so let's do it together. Hey, hey, friends. Welcome back to another episode of the Ops Authority Podcast. I am your host and the founder here at the Ops Authority. And today we are sharing episode number 248. It's going to be a different episode than usual, but it's going to bring you a lot of goodies, a little behind the scenes, some other perspective, and a different look at me. Usually I come in here every single week. I'm either interviewing a guest or sharing something from my heart or my mind, some wisdom that I have. And this week is a little bit different. This week, I am sharing an episode of another podcast that I was recently on called The Confessions of a Terrible Leader. When they reached out to me, I was like, whoa, this podcast, just the title of it in itself is so cool, so interesting. And it was an honor to be a guest on that show. I will invite you to listen in to that episode, where you're going to learn a lot of leadership lessons, both from myself and the host, Lacey Nelson, who is a visionary. So she wanted to kind of hear what the background of being an operator was like. So I think you'll enjoy the conversation, a lot of insights. And then, like I said, a little behind the scenes, because I'm the one being interviewed versus interviewing someone else. So I hope you will listen along and give Lacey a listen as well at The Confessions of a Terrible Leader.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to Confessions of a Terrible Leader. I'm your host, Lacey Nelson, and former terrible leader myself. So we have Natalie Gingrich in the house today, and I am so excited to introduce Natalie. She is the owner of the business called The Ops Authority. Is that your business name, The Ops Authority?
Yep.
I nailed it.
Yep.
Okay. Natalie is just the absolute go-to source, in my opinion, of someone who is really interested in wanting to learn how to take their skills at operations and their gifts that they have in the area of organizing and coordinating and taking it to the next level and figuring out what that is for them, what that's going to look like. She also has a background of over 15 years before she broke away and started this company in a Fortune 150 organization, corporate background. And she is here today to just have some great, honest conversation about what it means to think about yourself as a leader and her own journey to getting to this point and some of the mistakes she made along the way. So Natalie, welcome. Thank you. Thank you for being here today.
Yes. Hello, Lacey. I'm super excited to be here as well. I feel like the name of your podcast, it gets me excited. So I'm sure you have a great listenership of people, because all of us, I believe all of us are leaders. And I believe at times all of us can probably be terrible leaders too. So I'm excited to contribute my experiences and kind of lessons learned and have some fun today.
Well, excellent. I think my first question is, have you always believed that everyone's a leader? Is that something that you've had to grow into or develop over your own career?
Yeah, I think everyone has the ability to be a leader. Mm-hmm. If they choose to do that and choose to, you know, I've been obsessed with leadership before I even could spell leadership. I can remember my 8-year-old self just really being someone who was probably that typical, the way that you would describe a leader, kind of bossy, kind of in charge and all of that, like way back in my youth. But I have, what I have learned in just leading thousands and thousands of people, scaling, you know, dozens of companies, hiring just an infinite number of people, that leadership can just be so different. It doesn't have to be that bossy person who's in control, who has, you know, that kind of personality or persona from the outside looking in. What I've learned is, and what I believe is, everybody has the ability to be a leader. I believe that some people dive into it and others become really obsessed at perfecting it.
Yeah, absolutely. So you're helping these people that identify themselves typically, and correct me if I'm wrong, because this is, I'm speaking to your group, mm-hmm. your crew. Typically, operations people that I know, they like to think of themselves more as behind the scenes, not out front. Maybe wouldn't identify themselves as a leader mm-hmm. if they're working on that, on those operations aspects of a business. Is that a fair statement?
Totally fair. And, you know, we like to be behind the scenes. When I say we, I am talking about that operator, that right hand in your yes. business. We thrive by being behind the scenes, by really supporting the CEO and the mission of the company, maybe even other teammates here inside of your company. But that's really our zone. That's where we shine. That's what we're most comfortable in. And so leadership looks very different for an operator than it would for a visionary or for a main stakeholder in a company right. or, you know, the CEO, whatever that title of yours may be.
Yeah. Can you speak a little bit more to that differentiation? How is it different as being an operations leader versus like my role, visionary CEO, head of the company?
Yeah, I think that, you know, there's a hierarchy in operations, just like there is in anything else. And so the more of the foundational operational contributor to a team is more of an implementer. And I don't mean this in a derogatory way. So if this zings you for a little bit, just step back. I'm going to tell you a little bit of story and give you some perspective around why I use these terms. But there is, you know, there's a foundational operational need, which is the most significant in any business, by the way. Mm-hmm. And then as the company grows or as need changes, as the CEO is looking to, you know, to develop, whether it's himself, herself, their self, as well as the company, they start to pull in. And what they need is more of that strategic support. And so there's a big difference in that foundational level versus that strategic level. And as you're navigating the distance from foundational to strategic, whatever that title may be for you and in your company, there is a shift in what the company needs and what the leader may need as well. And that shift is what I call the yes, ma'am to yes, maybe mentality. Mm. That yes, ma'am mentality is more of that foundational layer, because the leader is likely asking you or telling you or partnering with you in the most gentle way, is asking you to complete a task, right? It is very task specific.
Yes.
And this is not a punitive thing. This is an absolute need, the most primary need in business. You need that foundational layer, and you need that yes, ma'am or yes, sir person who just gets the stuff done.
Yeah.
And then as you progress in business, that yes, ma'am shifts to a yes, maybe. And when you feel like you have reached that yes, maybe partnership with somebody, mm-hmm. that's the person that is truly the counterpart to the CEO, whether you want to call him a director of operations, I don't care what the title is,
right.
but that's your counterpart where you're actually open and willing, Lacey, to receive the pushback. You know, for me to say, hey, Lacey, I think that that's a great idea. I don't know if that really fits with us. And, you know, you pull in strategically, like we've had these conversations or on our strategic plan, this is happening. So in essence, what they're saying is, yes, that's a great idea. Maybe we'll execute now and maybe we won't. And so to me, that's the shift of growth inside of a company. And every company is going to need both of those at some time. But they're, you know, you don't ever really start at the yes, maybe person.
Right, right. That has absolutely been our experience here at the Transcend Leadership Collective. And I can confirm, as a classic visionary entrepreneur, I need a strong ops person to rein me in and say, hey, I hear you. And we already have 14 things happening right now that are taking priority.
Yeah.
So regroup where you want this to fall. But last time we talked, this was what you said was important. So is that still true or not?
They use this on me inside of my business all the time. So even though I'm not wildly visionary and I am definitely more on that integration side, my team is still, I mean, I still have a big vision, right? All of us can have a big vision. And my team comes back to me and says, hey, Nat, like we already have these three things. Like, are you sure you want to shift it? I want to add it. Like, come on. And they're like, we don't have enough capacity. Yes. So maybe let's do this later.
Yeah. And now you definitely are ops because my hyperbole was like 14 and your realistic was like 3.
Yeah.
3 is a much healthier number, everyone. When we do strategic planning, we actually make people stick 3 to 5. So yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. What do you want people to know? Say that they are leading a team, leading an organization. Maybe they are more entrepreneurially minded and they need that person, but they don't really know how to ask for it. Like, what is the language to use when you want your ops person that maybe has been that yes, ma'am person to make the shift? What do you need to hear from us in the seat that we're like, no, we need this from you? How do we say that in a way that you believe it?
Yeah. So, oh, this is so good. I'm so glad that I'm here today. This is the kind of stuff that gets me all excited, even though it's kind of a nerdy, unsexy topic sometimes.
But I love it.
I think more than what you say is what you see from this person. Mm. And I'm a big believer, just kind of in the framework that I just talked you guys through, from the foundational to the strategic need inside of a business. I always like to hire people at that foundational level. And then you naturally see who is self-motivated, who is resourceful, who matches your values, who, you know, who's deeply connected. And I let those people rise, and they're going to rise differently. Not every single person can be a strategist, right? I believe that most people can be leaders if they choose to exercise leadership in the way that I see leadership, but not everybody has the ability to be a strategist. And ultimately, if you want that high level kind of partner in business, in what we call a director of operations, they're going to have that strategic, you know, those strategic guts, if you will. And so it's, to me, it's less about what you say and more about giving them opportunities to show off their strategy. For me, on the receiving side, and you know, I've transcended this myself, right? I didn't like pop out being this operational guru. I've grown and, you know, experienced lots and tons of different leadership styles in corporate, and then running my own business and scaling other people's businesses. But at the end of the day, it's giving it, it's you showing the confidence that you are open to listening to what their strategic, you know, sight says. And then, and I think that's the first step, is just opening up and asking for it, like literally giving them the opportunity to solve the puzzle for you.
Yeah.
We as foundational operators in companies, we tend to sit back and just wait for you to tell us, because that's how we're groomed. And specifically, I mean, I don't want to go down the rabbit hole, but you know, especially being a female heavy, you know, skill set, it's just gender wise, we typically enjoy being told what to do and enjoy and get a lot of pleasure off of really executing on whatever that, you know, overdoing, if you will.
Yeah.
So I think, first of all, asking for their partnership and how would you solve this puzzle? Like, hey, I'm up against the wall and I'm noodling on this, because all of us, all visionaries, sit around and we're like, we come up with all these scenarios in our head, and most of us hold those in our heads because we want to get them right. We put a ton of pressure, a ton of perfectionism, even time crunches on getting it right.
Yeah.
When sometimes it just feels so good to reach out, just like you would a friend, and say like, hey, I'm going through this.
Yeah.
What do you think? Or just listening to their perspective. So asking them, and then you get to be the judge of the quality of the response. And the part that I just personally have enjoyed the most in my development as a leader is helping them to further explain how they came to that conclusion. Because sometimes I'm like, whoa, where did you come from? That is nothing. I was not going anywhere like that. And that doesn't mean it's not right. A lot of times, if it's that far from where I thought I was going to go, then I probably won't, you know, clasp onto it.
Yeah.
But I still want to, I'm interested, like, how did you get there? Yeah. And maybe they have a perspective that I don't have that may not help me on this initiative, but on another one. Basically, you're building a true partnership, a friendship, whatever you want to call it, but we'll call it a partnership just so we stay legit here. But I want to understand where their mind is so that I can continue to develop them and give them the space. Nine times out of 10, partnerships are possible, but they're oftentimes, this is where the nine times out of 10 comes in, they are fractured because the leader feels like they have to solve it all themselves. Mm. They don't extend the hand and just say, hey, guide me through this and help me do this. We feel that, I'm coming back to perfectionism, but wanting to be right, that right. certainty of I'm the leader, this is my responsibility. Yes. When you've got great operators around you who really can't wait to contribute.
Yes, 1,000,000%. Like, I want to stand up and give you a standing ovation mm-hmm. right now. So 1,000,000% true. And sometimes it feels like such a heavy burden, and it can be interpreted as arrogance or as aloofness from people on the team. Like, oh, mm-hmm. or lack of transparency. Why don't they ever tell us what's going on? And what's going on for the leader is that they have told themselves this false narrative that they're supposed to have all the answers all the time. And that, and you know this, I'm preaching to the choir, the most successful people building businesses, leaders building up and pulling in team members, they are bringing people on the team that have the answers they don't, that have the skill sets that they don't have and can see things that they can't see. Like, I'm a great visionary. I'm not very good at keeping all of the details happening in the right order and making the systems make, like, I am the queen of putting the cart before the horse, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And I need that person that can see the full landscape and go, whoa, 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 I think our steps are out of order here.
Yes. Yeah. And there's value in both of them. That's why, you know, the whole Traction or E-Myth, you know, both of those, you know, quintessential books for us in this entrepreneurial space really point out the fact that you've got two different, you know, there's two strong counterparts that make up a solid union in a business. And mm-hmm. we put a lot of emphasis on the visionary part, but truly all the visions you have, at least a portion of them, you want to come to life. And we need a partner to make that happen.
Yes. Oh, such a good conversation. Everyone's going to be better, right? Like when you find that person and that person finds you and it's clicking, like, I don't know of anything that feels more exciting than that relationship when it's working. Mm-hmm.
It's a new month, and you know what that means. It's time for me to share another podcast from the HubSpot Podcast Network that I am going to be dedicated to tuning into this month. And this month is Hustle and Flowchart. I just saw Flowchart in the title and I was like, ooh, yes, I need to know more. This podcast, Joe talks about how to build a business so it gives you freedom and fuel for your life. And I think all of us need a lot of that right now. He also discusses systems and mindset tweaks, reframes, and strategies for entrepreneurs. Something I know that my listeners will really appreciate is that Joe has not created this podcast for someone who's looking to build a billion-dollar business. This podcast is for people like you and I, people who are looking to build systems that work for us and also to make this entrepreneurial journey way more fun and at the same time still bring in more money. So why don't you listen along with me this month, Hustle and Flowchart. You can find it wherever you get your podcast.
All right, time for our big question. You have a lot of experience behind you, very impressive what you've done and awe-inspiring, right? Like, so looking at this and going, look at what you've built, look at how you've taken, and you're giving this opportunity to so many more people, so many more women, and it's so encouraging. I love that. And I'm guessing the road here was not painless and that you likely have had some big learnings along the way. And had moments where you would identify yourself as a terrible leader. And that's what we're here for, are the confessions. Mm-hmm. What is the confession you're bringing to our confessional today to share with our audience so that hopefully they can gain some learning and perspective and avoid the scars that go with it?
Yes. So I'm just so excited to have this conversation because yes, I've experienced a lot of these things and it was hard to narrow this down to one. And I thought about it ahead of time as most fact finders and ops people would, but because there's so many and it's not that it's just mine. It's also in all of the experience I have from leading so many different people mm-hmm. and, you know, being on lots of different paths. But the thing that I wish I could undo from, you know, certain times in my leadership, which I've been able to correct over time. And I'm happy to share the how with you too. But something that a lot of us probably identify with is when we bring on people to our team, whether it's new or whether we're developing them inside of the company, inside of our own company, I wish I would have never done that is not setting and effectively communicating the expectations of the role. Mm. And this is like the hub and spoke type of model here. Like that's in the middle, but the spokes, like how many things go wrong when we don't take the time, when we're not really descriptive about this from the very beginning, the spokes are endless in how we pay for that down the road. And so as, like I said, as I was preparing ahead of time, I was like, man, this is the one that just seems to have so many bruises around it if I don't get it right. And until I realize that, you know, it's truly up to me to fix that, because if I'm the person hiring or bringing these people into my company, they're not going to learn expectations from anyone else because ultimately it's my company. Yeah. And so taking the time to get that right saved me a lot of heartache down the road and a lot of different types of heartache, not just, you know, turnover or things that you might be thinking about, but it's, you know, it's difficult conversations. It is, you know, stagnant growth. It's, I mean, there's so many different spokes, if you will.
Yeah. Well, now, of course, we want to know the how, because I think all of us think we're great at communicating expectations. I mean, we wrote it down in the job description. So,
yeah. Yeah. So actually, that's a great jumping off point for me. So everyone thinks, yeah, it starts at the job description. I 100% co-sign on that, that it does start in the job description. The part is that from the job description, and here's the how. We took the job description, and when we go to write job descriptions, Lacey, it is a pretty grandiose. I mean, I know we try to control the scope. We try to be realistic, And thank goodness we do that. However, when you look at that job description, most leaders, including myself, we look at that and we say, we start envisioning this person joining our team and being able to contribute in all the, probably the 25 different responsibilities that you have listed inside of this job description. We want that. We're craving that solution for all of those things in a very short amount of time. Until I realized that I needed to, you know, it's good. You want to list everything that you have in mind in that job description. So I 100% want you to do that. The thing that we had to do is look at that again with fresh eyes, still in the hiring process before we extend an offer and say, okay, here's a list of 25 things. What needs to get done in the first 30, the next 30, and then the last 30? So 30, 60, 90 days. Mm-hmm. I truly look at that. We're doing this right now in our own company, but it's like, what does success look like in this role in 30, 60, 90? And all of that seems like, yes, Nat, that's what you should be doing. We don't do it. We've used that job description as this is kind of the Bible. This is what you're supposed to do.
Right.
And we don't give any parameters around it. We don't even have conversations. We will sometimes just hide behind the piece of paper that is the job description. And so we have now taken that job description. We create something called key result areas. So KRAs, and everybody has those for the first 90 days. They don't continue. Most people in my company have been here for multiple years. So we don't do these every 90 days. You're going to start to leverage your strategic planning after you get through the first 90 or 180 at the most. Mm-hmm. But in those first 30, 60, 90, it allows me as the leader to be the best coach.
Yes.
And I actually get to see, is this person going to be a fit? Are like some key zings for me is they've got to be resourceful. They have to be an independent thinker. Like these are values of mine that it's a requirement for my team, and I do my best to screen them.
Right.
But I mean, real life is much different than an interview and screening and answering application questions. So the KRAs help both me as the leader to coach them, to develop them. But also what I see is the new hire, the person who's joining the team, is so much more confident.
Yes.
And I get to test them. I'm like, hey, you know, if you've completed the 5 things I wanted you to get done in the first 30 days, did they sit back and wait for me to say, okay, the next 30 days are here?
Right.
Or did they come to me and they say, Natalie, you know, I've completed these, or hey, I'm running behind on these. And I know you said that this is what you expected of me. It just allows two-way conversations, two-way relationships to truly be formed at the very beginning so that you don't get yourself, which is where this soreness comes from. I was finding myself 6 months, 9 months, 12 months down the road, having invested $40,000 to $100,000 in this asset, which is a lot of money to a small business.
Yes.
To be questioning myself the whole time, is this person right?
Yes.
Does this person fit? Is it me? Am I the reason that people XYZ, right? And so you remove the emotionality from, I have removed the emotionality from it by saying, you know, I spend a lot of time on my job description. I never hire without a job description. And I never put somebody in our company without 30, 60, 90s. And I don't really care if they're coming in here. We just hired a copywriter. Mm-hmm. She's not full-time in my company. She's probably working between 7 to 12 hours a week. It's a very fractional role. But even for a temporary fractional role, there is clear expectations on what needs to happen in that time frame. Of course, the same goes for someone who's joining us as an employee capacity.
That's a fantastic piece of advice. Thank you. We are having some transition internally, and you can bet I'm going to take that and put it into action. One good transition. It's all good stuff, thankfully. Mm-hmm. It isn't always, but it's all good stuff right now. So
celebrating that.
Yes. Yes. When we have these things moving and going, I also think what a good test for you as a leader, if you can't say, I don't really know. I mean, if you say, I don't really know what the right things are for the 30, 60, 90. I mean, that is because I will say there's probably some people listening saying, I don't know what I would write. If I really have to be honest with myself, because they don't even slow down long enough to get that in place. What would you say if I was a client you were working with and I was like, you know what? What do you think I should put? I mean, that's the classic, like, I have no idea, right? What do you think I should put in those things? What advice would you give me?
Right. So two different things. And they're very, very different. One is if you take the time to write the job description, setting up KRAs is as simple as looking at the bullet points, right? So, you know, you need this kind of admin and you need this kind of op support and you need this kind of HR, blah, 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 whatever those little bullet points are on there. Look at those bullet points and have a little grid of 30, 60, 90. You're literally like just sliding things. This is really important. This can wait. This can really wait. Ah, that's a nice to have. Mm-hmm. So that is how we truly teach how to come up with KRAs. They should be inside of the job description. And, you know, you've already written them down. So now you just slot them in, whether it's, you know, imminent or something that can wait. The other thing, to your point, Lacey, is if you've never hired a director of operations inside of your company before, you may be like, okay, I've got this vision of having this right-hand person who can help me with strategy, who can help me lead this team. That's what I know, but I don't really know what is going to be really needed inside of this. And so this is what happens to a lot of our directors of operations who come out of our certification. We equip them to answer this question, to get in front of this. So if you've been in that role before, then especially at a high level, that foundational level, probably not, but more at a high level, you know, show your proactiveness, show up and come in and say, hey, this is what I think I can get done. This is what I've been able to get done in 30, 60, 90. How does that fit inside of your company? Imagine the partnership that just takes off from the very beginning. The weight is off of you. Mm. They already have experience doing this. So now you're getting a perspective and some understanding of what's possible.
Yeah.
And then you can mesh those two together and you can collaborate to create KRAs that work for you.
I love that. That's really good advice. And one thing I want to make sure, I know we're coming close to the end of our time and you got to get on the road. So I want to respect that. But I want to make sure and ask you to explain a little bit your business model of helping people understand how to do operations. It's so synergistic and amazing. And I don't want people to miss out that are listening on the resource that you are. So can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, for sure. So we have a certification for directors of operations, and we have two different pathways inside of that certification. One would be for people who are we call it employer sponsored. Now, whether that person is a contractor or fully dedicated or an actual employee, internally, we just call it like a dedicated resource. And that is one path of being a director of operations and going through our certification. And then the other is someone who's more of a freelancer who wants to work with several clients fractionally. And, you know, we have a path for what we call business builders, but we are certifying people to become directors of operations for them to qualify to enter into the certification. We ask that they have at least 3 years of experience in doing high level operations. And, you know, we want them to have led teams. We want to make sure that they have the ability to be a strategist strategist, because if what we think and what we know versus what their experiences doesn't align, it's going to be hard for them to, I just serve as that realistic counterpart for all of them as we're going through our training program. But yeah, we certify directors of operations. We are, you know, getting close to almost 500 students and who have come through our program. And it's been a huge reward for us to be able to do this. We've developed a lot of intellectual property over this time. And it's a joy to share. It's really,
that's fantastic.
Yeah, it's exciting.
So if I'm like, I need a director of ops and this sounds amazing, do I contact you and then you can make referrals from your graduates, or how does that work?
Yeah. So we have a Facebook group, and it's a free Facebook group. It's open to everyone. And we have all different levels of operators inside of there. And so we will direct people to the group to kind of post out there what they're looking for and then allow it to happen organically. Otherwise, we have a hiring part of our business called the Hiring Authority, where we will do the full hiring process as well.
Oh my gosh, what a gift you are to people like myself. I'm so glad that you have built this out, and it is a resource that is out there for all of us figuring this out together. And even, I will say, even organizations that are like, I've been around 10 years. I don't know if I'm still figuring it out. We see the inside of a lot. We see the guts of a lot of organizations. Most organizations, in my experience, even at the 8-figure level, sometimes the 9 aren't doing this well.
Yeah.
And they're missing out.
Yeah. I worked in a Fortune 150 company who had been around for 180 years at the time that I left. Of course, more than that now. But I can tell you, even though with all of that experience, with hundreds and hundreds and thousands of leaders inside, nobody has it right. You're always evolving. The market is going to be changing. Your people are going to be changing. Needs are changed. New products are developed. And you know, that's the joy of business. If you can tolerate that is truly the joy of business. And that's what keeps us all necessary and around.
It's the game. It's fun.
To us, yes.
You can tolerate it.
Yes.
Yeah. You gotta be able to learn how to ride the roller coaster without being constantly motion sick. If you can get that down, you're gonna do great.
I love it. I love it. Yes.
Well, where can people find you? And do you have anything exciting coming up that you want to make sure our listeners know about?
Yeah, well, you can always find me on our podcast. It's The Ops Authority, the same name as our business name. All of our social channels you can also find under The Ops Authority. And we do the certification in a cohort style. So the next thing that we have coming up is another round of our certification. We are on the 23rd round of our certification. We've been doing this a long time and we've got it really dialed in. So we've got an upcoming round, and you can learn a little bit more about that at directorofops.com.
Well, congratulations on the 23rd cohort. That's amazing. And thank you. Thank you for making time for us today. Thank you for sharing your wisdom, your screw ups. We appreciate your transparency, and I have no doubt our paths will be crossing again in the future. So
awesome.
Thank you, Nat. It was great to meet you. Safe travels. And to all of our listeners out there, until next time, go manage like a leader.
Thank you for investing just a little bit of time to listen to this episode of the Ops Authority podcast. I am so grateful to be surrounded by real action takers like you who are invested in growing their business through operations. Will you add one more action to your to-do list today? Visit theopsauthoritypodcast.com, where you can join our community of business owners and other ops experts. You're going to hear from me in a week, but in the meantime, do big things on the backside of your business.